Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have covered the author, and we are working on the recipients in the opening verses of Peter's second epistle. The author, of course, is Simon Peter. That's why we call this book 2 Peter. It's a second epistle penned by the human author, Peter, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, of course, guided, guarded, and directed in his writing by the Holy Spirit of God. And who does he write to? Well, according to the words of 2 Peter 3:1, it sounds like he's writing to the same individual Christians, the same specific Christians that he wrote 1 Peter to the pilgrims scattered abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and Asia. I think of the five territories that are named there. But he doesn't say that here. He uses a term that is much broader and actually applies to all true people of God. He writes to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. The people of God who are identified by the exercise of this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a faith that obtains the imputed righteousness of Christ. And so this is a wonderful way to describe the people of God, and it describes all of the people of God, not just those in Cappadocia, Bithynia, Asia, whatever else was included there, Galatia, and so forth, but all the people of God are included in this particular description. But there are a couple of other things to say about the recipients before we move on to the greeting. And so we would like to do that as we study God's Word together on this Thursday, August 28. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those whose gifts enable us to do this. Now, one of the interesting things that Peter says is what he says about Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there are many, many places, many different statements in the New Testament that make it clear that Jesus Christ is God. Anybody who doesn't believe in the deity of Christ obviously doesn't believe the Bible. Now, a lot of people don't believe in the deity of Christ and don't claim to believe the Bible. At least they're being consistent. But there are some people who claim they believe the Bible, but they don't believe in the deity of Christ. They say they take the Bible as their guide in what they believe, but they deny that the Bible clearly teaches the deity of Christ. Well, I don't have time to go through the many, 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 many scriptures that teach this doctrine, but here's one of them, and all you have to do is break this down and look at it carefully, and there's no other possibility. It's an inescapable conclusion that Jesus Christ is God. Again, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you will study this in a Greek testament, you will discover that there are two nouns, but only one article. What does that mean? That means that both the nouns are linked together as one and the same. In other words, it is saying something like this. like precious faith, with us by the righteousness of the one who is both God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's maybe a little bit wordy way to explain what this says, but that's exactly what it says. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of the one who is both God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is made clear, I say again, by the fact that there are two nouns that have one article that applies to both of them. The article, an article is either a or the. And that is the case here. One article that attaches to both the word God and the word Savior, which describes Jesus Christ. So if there were no other text in the Bible but this one makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father. I don't know if I'm talking to anyone who's had any difficulty with that, but probably so. And I'm probably talking to somebody who at least has had conversation with those who claim to believe the Bible but deny the deity of Christ. Some of them have probably knocked on your front door and offered you their literature and tried to talk to you about their religion, which they say is based upon the Bible, but it is a religion which does not recognize the deity of Christ. It makes Christ a created being, whereas God is the uncreated one. But this text, again, I say, makes it very clear that whoever God is, Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is God. But one final emphasis on this identification of the recipients of this epistle is the emphasis upon a shared faith. This like precious faith. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Like precious faith, or Peter could be saying, faith as precious as ours. And what he's indicating is that the faith of these people that he's writing to is the same faith that he has, this one who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's a faith that is equal in value and honor and privilege. Like precious faith, the same faith as the apostles, as he makes clear. Like precious faith with us, and that's no doubt what that term us refers to, with we who are apostles, with us. The same precious faith as Jewish believers. He's writing to Gentiles. Peter is a Jew, but there is no difference in the quality of the faith between Jews and Gentiles. If they both believe in Jesus Christ, their faith is the same. It's the same like precious faith. That concept would pose a difficulty for Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ and who maintain this separateness from Gentiles and this superiority to Gentiles. The Jews are the people of God, the chosen people of God, and they have something that is superior to Gentiles. We have this Jewish faith, which is the highest faith, which is the most godly faith in all the world. But Peter, a Jew and an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to Gentiles, says, I'm writing to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. With us who are apostles. With us who are Jewish believers. With us who are God's people everywhere. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have an apostolic faith. No less. You have the same faith as Peter. The same faith as Paul. The same faith as the Apostle John. The same faith as all believers. It is like precious faith. But now moving from the recipients, we move to the greeting. As Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This would be a common first century greeting. The Jews greeted one another, as many people know, by the term shalom, a Hebrew word for peace. The Greeks greeted one another with chara, joy. And this is related to that. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. But Peter, like Paul does exactly the same thing. Peter takes the chara, the joy greeting of the pagan Gentiles of his day, and he turns chara into charis, just changing a couple of letters on the end, and turns it into grace. It's a grace greeting. And so the common first century greeting that everybody would have been used to hearing, shalom among the Jews and chara among the Gentiles, which would mean something like joy, is slightly altered for Christians to say charis, grace. And I'm sure anybody who was hearing this greeting would recognize, first of all, it is a common familiar greeting. It has common familiar elements, and yet it's been slightly changed. Why? What's the reason for that? Well, it's a Christianized greeting. Grace, charis, which means a gift, which means unmerited favor from God, which is the basis of peace, of health, of well-being. It's predicated upon God's grace, God's unmerited favor, God's gift to undeserving sinners. And those who have received grace are those who enjoy peace. The Hebrew idea of peace was not just the absence of conflict, but the prosperity and well-being that lack of conflict generates. When nations are at war, there's always a price to be paid. There's always economic cost involved in that. And when nations are at peace for a period of time and are able to build up their economy and not have things torn apart and blown apart and people killed and so forth by warfare and buildings destroyed and animals destroyed and crops destroyed and farmland destroyed. Well, when there's a period of peace, then eventually there comes a period of prosperity. And this prosperity and well-being is an outflow of peace, and the Hebrew idea of peace encompassed the whole ball of wax, you might say. Both the absence of conflict and the resulting prosperity. Well, that's true in the Christian sense as well. Grace and peace, spiritual prosperity. Join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.